and he's good all the time. I'm excited to be in God's house this morning, and I hope that you guys are as well. And I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We do this every single Sunday morning. If you're visiting with us today, this is something that we do every Sunday morning. If you're in your home and you're watching me on live on Facebook or YouTube or any other which avenue that we have that I'm unaware of, they've got so much stuff going on. And so I'm going to ask you to get off of your couch, and I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, because church is not a spectator sport. Church is something that you get involved with. And so, you know, there's so many times in a week that you could want to give up. There's so many times in a week where it could get hard. It can get rough. You may say, you know what, God, I can't take one more day of this. Lord, I want to quit right now. God, this has gotten too difficult. Lord, I don't like this. This is unpleasant for me. God, this isn't fair. And see, God wants you to understand one thing about this whole situation. You are still standing. The addiction could not drag you under. The divorce could not drag you under. The sickness could not drag you under. The family problem couldn't drag you under. See, you're standing here today, and you are standing by the absolute pure grace of God. And may you never forget what you're doing right now. Tierney, honey, when life gets difficult, when it breaks you into a million pieces, stand up, get off of your couch, stand up and say, God, thank you, because I'm still standing. So I'm going to ask you right now to begin to lift your hands up, because see, God is going to fill every part of your life where you're coming up in lack. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you right now to visit each person, God, in every aisle. I ask you to search every heart. God, for every person that walked in here troubled, God, I ask that they leave here with peace right now in Jesus' name. For every addict, God, and they're under the sound of my voice, Lord, I ask you right now, God, to do what only you can do, which is break every chain right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for every person that they've been told something about their health, God, that they don't want any longer, God, I ask that you'd heal them right now in Jesus' name. And Daddy God, I tell you right now to have your absolute way in this service, Lord, and anoint my words, God, in Jesus' name, amen. I always feel like every Sunday when we have visitors, which is pretty well every Sunday, I feel like I have to give people a disclaimer. So here we go. And so don't be offended at anything else I say after the next 2 minutes, because I've given you a disclaimer. I am loud and I am proud. I am a hot-blooded Arkansan Italian Puerto Rican woman, and I will tell it to you just exactly how it is. The Word of God is offensive, because the Word of God will tell you that you need to make a change. And so if you get offended in one of my service, I'm just going to have to very humbly tell you to get over yourself in the humblest way I can, which is basically get over yourself, right? We're reading the same Bible. And God's word doesn't change. And so this morning, I knew at some point I would preach this message. But I knew I would have to come to a place where I could do it. And so this morning, the title of my message is Blessed to Grieve. Blessed to Grieve. Blessed to Grieve. And I used to think that you could only grieve a death. But I've learned in my life that there are so many things that you can grieve. And, you know, one of the things that I've grieved the most, I don't think I've had a year where I've grieved any more than this year. And what I've grieved is the loss of an idea, Tierney, of how I thought my life was going to be. See, sometimes you can sit there and you can have a perfect envisionment of what you think that your life is going to be. And then when you wake up one day and it isn't like that, it's like a spirit of grief just wants to come over you and be like, well, you know what, you did this and you did this. And sometimes, Alyssa, we grieve over the loss of what we thought it was going to be like. And I got a question for you. Since when was life ever what you thought? See, the word says that in this life, You're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation, but it tells you to do something. And it says, but be of good cheer because I have overcome all those things. And I want to minister about grieving. You know that there are people that should be here in these seats today, no doubt. But see, because of this, that, and the other, they're not here. You know how many people I can think of that belong to Parish Christian Center and they're members here that they need to hear this? A lot of them. Guess what? That's what I just said about them. That's the only thing, Rita, that I'm going to say, because I'm not going to grieve over who ain't here. I'm going to celebrate who's here. And so is God. And so is God. So I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 26, and we're going to begin to look at verse 34. You know, you can grieve over the death of a person. You can grieve over a failed marriage. You can grieve over a failed relationship. You can grieve over the idea of how you thought your life would be. You can grieve over someone else's disaster. Have you ever loved somebody so much that when you saw them hurting, you just broke and you would do anything to fix them? And when you were all by yourself, you were grieving because you knew they were hurting and they were grieving. There have been people that I dearly loved, and I would see them, you know, walk across a stage or walk across this or walk across that, and I would feel that grief and I would just begin to pray, God, help that person. They are really hurting. You can also grieve over what you thought that you had. I've learned in life the hard way. Many times what we think that we had, we did not. And we're here to talk about grief today. Most pastors won't talk about grief because we want to put it in a bad light. But Tyler, grief is good. There's a part of grieving that leads you to wholeness. And see, God, Jesus Christ came that you could live. And not only just live and get by, but live in abundance of all things. So in Genesis chapter 26, and we're going to look at verse 34. And it says this, when Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and also Basemath. Now, thank God we are not living in these times, because it's like, what the heck? if my mother named me Basemath, I would be really causing her a bunch of grief for the rest of my life. Because it's like, who comes up with this? I mean, could you be a little bit more creative? But anyhow, so he's got two wives. Bless his heart. I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. Right, guys? Amen. So it says here that so the second wife, and he also married Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and they were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. That's verse 35. Guys, I didn't tell you to put 35 up there, but can you put it up there? I also want to take a short little break out of this sermon to brag on my sound guys. They are the best. They are the best. And a lot of their mistakes that it looks like they make is actually this pastor right here not telling them. So it says here they were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. And I, before this year, Michelle, I could say, you know, I hate grief. I just hate it. I hate when I have that. I hate when it's knocking at my door. I don't like to be hurting. I don't like grief. I don't like to grieve over things. I don't like to be broken up. But what I've realized is that grief will have its course. You can run from it. You can try to avoid it. You can even act like it's not there. You can make believe all that you want to. But at the end of the day, there's things that you're going to grieve through. And if you will allow yourself to do it, if you will have the guts enough to do it, if you will have the courage enough to grieve, you are going to be better than you ever even dreamed of being. One of the things that I want to point out to you this morning, can you identify the people that are a grief to you? Here it says right in God's Word, you know, I've learned you can hang on everything the Bible says, even if we're talking about Basemath, right? it says that they were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. There are people, and I am in the people business, okay? But I'm not in the unrealistic business. They don't call me Pastor Real Deal for nothing, because I will tell it like it is. There are people that are a source of grief to you, and that is all they are ever going to be to you. And the sooner that you identify those people in your life and begin to set up boundaries, the better your life is going to be, the happier and more joyful that your life is going to be. Can you identify? How many of you like to feel grief? I don't like it. We best start doing something about it. Right? I went to a fast food restaurant one day over in Clarksville several years ago. And Tyler, I'm still mad at those folks. Because I got a burger. And I don't trust anybody. I ain't eating that burger just because they told me it was great. Look here, I opened that burger up, and I'm glad I did, because it had a fly in it. And I was like, yuck. I said, I am giving you this burger back because it has a fly in it, and that is just disgusting. I just told them all about it. And I said, and they go, well, do you want another one? And I said, well, that really depends. Can you guarantee me that I'm not going to get another burger with another fly in it? And as God is my witness, the little girl is at the drive-thru window, and she looks behind her, and she goes, well, ma'am, I can't guarantee you that you're not going to get another fly, because there's a lot of flies going on up in here today. I said, well, then I want my money back. Look here. You better call it like it is. I thought, well, that's a terrible thing for business, but look here, at least she knew. Well, no, ma'am, I can't guarantee that you're not going to get another fly. Actually, well, I appreciate the honesty. There's people in your life, and they're going to steal your joy every time they get an opportunity, and they're going to be a constant source of grief to you. You're going to always walk away from them feeling less than. You're going to always walk away feeling like your peace just got robbed from you that day. They're going to always make you feel like you're not doing a good job. They're going to always make you feel a certain way. Now, look here. Just because you're a saved, born-again believer of the Most High God does not make you a whipping pool. Identify the people that are only in your life to steal your joy, and to give you grief. Identify them. When you go to the doctor and they say, you have cancer in your body, you want to know where it is. Look here. If you've got a spiritual cancer in your life, you want to know where it is. And if it's coming from a person and they're orchestrated by Satan to constantly work in your life and to create negativity, you best identify it. So identify the people in your life that are a source of grief. Put some distance there. When I was getting this message early this morning, I could hear people in the congregation go, well, Pastor Kelly, most of those people are my family. Look here. Welcome to humanity. Right? That's all I'm going to say about that. Next verse, Genesis chapter 38, verse 12. And it says here, after a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. And when Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hira, the Adullamite, went with him. When Judah had recovered from his grief, when he had recovered from his grief. There has to be a recovery of grief in your life. You can't run from grief. You can't hide from grief. You can't act like grief isn't there sometimes. You have to face it head on and recover. A lot of people think that recovery is just from alcohol or drugs or whatever. No, it's recovering from the hard things that you've been through in your life that you can't even talk about because you can't even get them out of your mouth, because the moment you do, you're just a broken, cried up mess. Grief is something that you have to allow God to come in and say, God, help me to recover. God, help me to heal up. You have to recover from grief. You have to recover from it. And you got to want to be recovered. If you're still talking about it and you're still mulling it over in your brain, what they said, how they said it, what they were wearing when they said it, every word, you're not wanting to be free from that grief. You're still wanting to dig it up. Stop talking about it and say, God, help me to recover. God, I want to be recovered. Grief is something that you have to recover from and work your way through it. God still has a plan after disaster. God still has a plan after the trauma. God still has a plan after the mistake. God still has a plan after somebody did you wrong. God still has a plan after you zigged when you should have zagged. God still has a plan when normal people would tell you, no, God can't use you no more because you messed up. See, God still has a plan. That is why you need to work your way through what you're going through. Recover from it. Don't act like it's not there. I've had days, Rita, where all I could do was just sit there and cry about it. I've had days where all I could do was sit there and be mad about it. See, why does Pastor Kelly talk about this stuff? Because if the day that the world will have pastors where they'll just talk about their own life and their own failures and their own mess ups, that's the day that the people in the congregation can work on getting themselves free, because somebody in leadership had the balls enough to just get up and say, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I've been depressed. Yeah, I've been just upset. Yes, I've wanted to quit. Yes, I've wanted to just wash my hands and just be like everybody else. Yes. Yes, I've wanted to cuss someone out in the grocery store. Yes, I've wanted to do those things. Okay? That just got everybody awake. Yes, we want to do that stuff. All right. What I'm begging you to do is recover from it. Recover from it. Let God give you that comeback. Everything that the devil has been able to do in your life, you let him do it. Stand up. Give him a piece of his own medicine, which is standing up. See, what did we just do? We stood up. God will give you the ability to stand up every single time. God will make you stand when everybody else would fall in your situation. Why? Because every single day that you wake up is blessed. And God does not want you walking around defeated and failing all the time. He wants you to wake up and know whose you are. After he recovered from his grief, I'm asking you this morning to recover. I'm asking you to make a recovery. Why? Because God has some things in store for you, and the devil has been lying to you. That's why. The thing that I hate the most about grief, whatever kind it is that it hits you like a wave. You could be doing just fine. And maybe you walk into the store and you hear a wrong song. Maybe you go past the place that you and that person that they passed away. You know, all these things. Grief is just a thing that's got to be handled and handled with the Word of God. And grief is addressed several times in the Word. Yesterday, I was going about my day, having a fine and dandy day. Everybody always goes, what did the pastor do? What did pastors do on the weekend? Well, I'll tell you. I went to a Catholic little carnival. And I'll tell you, I enjoyed every moment of it. And you know what I enjoyed the most of it? Nobody knew me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I feel the Holy Spirit up in here. Yes, I want to spin the wheel and try to win some groceries. I want to do the little ducky thing with the pool. I want the cotton candy. I want to do all of it. But I came to a point in the day before I went, and I was talking with someone, and I hate when this happens, but it happens. And Tyler, in a moment's time, I was just in tears and I was grieved. And then I got angry. Because if you're anything like me, I am sick and tired of crying those tears that I don't want to cry anymore. You feel me? Let me tell you something. Recover. 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 I've been raised in the ministry, and what I can tell you is that you cannot act like something is not there and expect it to just go away. Recover from it. Work your way through it. Process it. The Word says, take every thought captive. Take those suckers captive and say, look here, you stupid thought. I am not going to think that no more. It's destroying my life. It's causing me to be angry all the time. You know, most Christians, they're angry. You ever wake up mad? You don't know why? Well, the devil has orchestrated irritation for you all day long. Amen? I'm asking you to recover. Because look here, inside of you is what this entire world needs. You are full of purpose and calling and favor and provision and miracles. And God is trying to pull that up out of you. And we are trying to act like we don't have some grief things up in our life. Look here. When you're in a moment of grief and you're stressed and you just, gosh, it seems like it's not getting any better and it's not ever going to, get on your knees and say, God, I want to talk to you about this. God, I'm hurting and I'm angry, God, and I don't want to hurt and I don't want to cry no more. And guess what you're going to do? Probably cry about it. Get it out. You know that tears are a healing balm. And most people, they get just so, I was so irritated yesterday when I was crying. I thought, I don't want to cry these tears no more. I wanted to have a little fit. I was the best fit pitcher back in my day when I was little. I would get, yes, wasn't I, Mother? I still, yes, I was great at it. I'm still pretty good, but I've lost some of my talent. I remember what the linoleum floor used to look like. I remember where there were holes in it because I used to just kick around and scream. I'd roll around. And then there was the few magic words that were said, when your dad gets home. That would straighten me up quicker than anything else. Look, get up off the floor of your life. Stand up and take control. Stop acting like it ain't there. Stop telling all your friends it ain't there. Stop telling yourself it's not there. Recover. Recover from it. Address it. Recover from it. Stop faking it. Stop faking it. There is no fake it till you make it. Stop faking. Be genuine and be real. Somebody says, how are you doing? And you ain't doing good. Say, I'm doing awful. How are you? All right? When God called you, he didn't call you to be a faker. Get real with yourself and own up to what's going on in your life and say, Lord, I'm just grieving. all week. And I mean all week. I tried to figure out what was going on with Kelly Mae. Because I have woke up on the wrong side of the bed every day. And then, in a very vulnerable moment, a divine appointment, I was able to just, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I said, I'm just grieving over what I thought my life was going to be. And I'm angry, Brother Mark, that it wasn't what I thought. And the moment I said it, God covered me in that blanket of the word that says, my thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts, Kelly, if you'll just let me come in and do some things. See, you can't heal a hurt by saying that it's not there. If you're grieving, if you're hurting, you know, one of the things that I see so much now, and I never saw it before, and I'm not sure why, but I see so many people grieving over their adult children. I see so many people grieving over their adult children. And I want to encourage you this morning. Look here. Do what Hannah did. And say, God, I give this child to you. It don't matter if they're 40, 50, 60 years old. I give them to you. God, and I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to give them to you again. I'm going to just speak out of my own life because I can't really speak out of y'all's life or you'll get offended and leave. But you know what? Way back in the day, we used to do family photos, the entire family. I've got four sisters, mom and dad. And them family photos kept getting weirder and weirder. Isn't that the truth, Mother? I've got three of my sisters in the service. Didn't them get weird? And they got weird because one year there'd be somebody in the family and then the next year they wouldn't be. You know, you can't help certain things. Dad finally goes, yeah, we're going to stop having these family photos because we have to retake them so often. We're going to stop this. But I watched even in my parents' life, grieving over what happened with us grown girls. I watched them shed tears over the disaster that happened in their children's life. And I never saw that until it happened in my own life. And I want to encourage you parents in here today where you've got grown children and you're grieving over what's going on in their life. I want to encourage you that before they were ever yours, they were God's. God is the author and the finisher of your faith. And He and only He knows how to get that adult child into a state of peace, prosperity in every way, wholeness in every way. I remember my mom saying, Kelly, I just want you to be okay. I remember saying, I don't feel like I ever will be. Look here. I'm preparing myself for the best comeback yet. Amen. Amen. Recover. Recovery is a choice. And it's not a choice that you make one time. It's a choice that you make every day. Grief is the one emotion that I believe has the biggest wave. Just when you think you've cried your last tear, here comes a flood of them. I've told myself a million times, I'm not going to cry over that. 2 minutes later, crying over it. We try to fight grief, to avoid it, to deny it, to keep ourselves so busy that we don't feel it. But in the end, it's there until you have worked through it. Many people are afraid they will get lost in their brokenness. Many people are afraid that if they go to that place that's caused them grief and pain, that they will get lost in that. And I want to tell you today, God is better than that. God is better than that. When you're going to scary places in your heart of hearts, God is there. Recover. Work through grief. Grieving is a part of your healing. Grieving is a part of your healing. The brokenness is leading to wholeness, and the grief has a purpose. I miss Mama Brenda so much. How many of y'all miss Mama Brenda? The people that you don't raise your hands is because you don't know her. But there ain't another person on the planet like Mama Brenda. She's a big old gal. She used to whip my butt. She's whipped my butt, changed my butt, dressed my butt. Oh, everything. She has just been like a second mama to me, and she has existed since I existed, since the church existed. And she had a stroke in December, and she's been down ever since, and now she's going to be in the Paris Health and Rehab, and I hope you guys are going to go see her, since that shouldn't be too much of a drive for you. But one of the things that I always marveled at Brenda Jackson about is this right here. She could cook anything. You could have water, and she would cook that into a 5-course meal. I don't know how she did it, but she does it. And she, when I go to see her in the nursing home, I'll say, Brenda, here's what I've got at the church. Now, what do you think I could conjure up to fix for the senior citizen meals? And she'll tell me. One of the things that I love about her is she can cook with just as little or as much as what she's got. God is the same way. God is not going to let one tear go to waste in your life. He will use it all. If you've failed, he's going to use that failure. If you've succeeded, he's going to use that success. If you have grieved, here's what I know, is that your grief is not just about you. There's a bigger picture. I know people, they've lost a spouse, they've lost a loved one, they've lost this, and all of their joy, all of their peace has been ripped out from them. Look here, it's time to recover. It's time to recover. Why? Because God still has a plan for your life. And it's time to start walking in it at a greater level. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 4. And it says here, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There's a blessing for you just in allowing yourself to mourn and have grief. You're blessed when you can work through it. If all you can do in a day is get up, then get up. This is not a Debbie Downer message. This is an encouraging message. So take it that way. And don't let the devil twist it up in your brain. I used to not understand depression until I experienced it. I used to think, what do you mean you can't get off the couch and do nothing? I get it. But there comes a time where you have to gird up your loins and you've got to get up physically, spiritually and in every other type of way, you've got to get yourself up and you've got to say, today is the day of salvation. Today, I choose blessing. Today, I choose to recover. I will not allow this grief to stay in my life forever. I am moving on. Amen. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, a lot of times what you really need is the comfort that can only come from the Holy Spirit. You can try to find it in relationships. You can try to find it in calling your mama or your sister or your daddy. But you know what? There isn't any type of comfort better than the comfort of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, there are things and problems in our lives that nobody can fix but God. And therefore, go boldly to the throne room and say, Daddy God, today I am troubled about such and such, and God, I need your comfort. God, I am, my whole self is hinging on the comfort you're going to give me today, because God, I need you right here in this moment. Why do we act like that with God? Because see, the word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you'll call on God, there he is. If you'll say, Lord, I'm struggling today, he's right there. Call on him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You can't skip over things and expect to be where you want to be in your life. If there are some things that have grieved you and hurt you, or if you've had a loss of a family member, if you've had, see, you can't act like it's not there. If it's there, it's there. Work through it. Recover from it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. And I want to tell you something. God has a lot of compassion concerning you. God really cares about what's hurting you. And the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Your grief is not just stopping at you. See, that grief, when it's worked its course in your life, Misty, and when it's come and it's brought you to a place of wholeness, you're going to be able to be overflowing with comfort for someone else that is going through what you've already gone through in your life. And let me tell you, I had a very, very proud pastor moment on Monday afternoon. I took Miss Keisha down to the jail.
Glory to God.
And she ministered right alongside me. Amen. Amen. And to take it a step further, she actually ministered better than I did at the jail. Why? Because in the midst of all the addiction, God was right there in your life and he was able to comfort you and pull you up out of that. That's a message that I personally could never share quite like you did on Monday, because I haven't been there. But you were there, and so the comfort that you received from God flowed out of your life and onto those women. And that is what life is all about. If you want to just keep everything wrapped up in yourself and never give of yourself and speak from your own successes and failures, well, you're going to be a miserable person. Because, see, you were designed and you were made in the image of God and in his likeness. And God has never been selfish. And because of that, when we want to try to hold back into all of this stuff, you can't be at your happiest when you're going to do that. Because see, God designed you to be like him. And I would come to places in my little message and I would say, okay, Keisha, take over. Could she have done that 3 years ago? Probably not. Would she have wanted to? No. But see, God will take you up out of the slimy pit of what's bothering you and the grief that you're experiencing. And he will put you in a place where not only can you talk about it, but you can minister about it. See, the thing that's got a hold of you that's making you torn up inside, that's the very thing that's thrusting you forward the moment that you decide, I'm going to not let this hold me back anymore. I'm going to address it and I'm going to recover from it and I'm going to go on and have a wonderful life. Grief is a booger, and it truly comes in waves. Look here. God is bigger. He's bigger. And it says here, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. Here's Paul, and he's talking to the Corinthian church, and he says, we were under great pressure many weeks. As y'all come in, what I see on a lot of your faces is that you're under great pressure. Look here. God is still bigger than that. God is still bigger. And God is still working miracles. He is still breaking addiction. He is still making a way where there was not a way. We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure. There are moments in grief where you say, God, I can't do this anymore. God, I cannot handle one more day of this. God, I've lost this family member and I miss them so much. God, this has happened and I'm hurting so bad. It's far beyond your ability to endure. Maybe you've sat there and you've looked at your life. Maybe you're sitting on the couch at night and you're saying, how did my life get to this? And it seems far beyond your ability to endure. Look here. In those seasons of your life, you're going to go off of God's ability. And God is well able. We were far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. There's a point in grief that comes. Have you ever felt, I just wish I was dead sometimes. This is just difficult. It's hard. I don't want to do this anymore. We even despaired life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but God. God hasn't called you to rely on yourself. He's called you to rely on him. He's called you to rely on him. He's called you to rely on him. So when you're let down by where your life is, when you're let down by people, when you're let down by circumstances, when you're hurting, God has called you to rely on him fully. Who raises the dead, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. God's not done. God's not done. He's going to continue to deliver you day by day. He's going to continue to renew you day by day. He's going to continue to restore you day by day. I sat with a person a couple years ago while they knew that their husband was behind doors dying of a heart attack, and I held their hand. And I said, and I could say with confidence to this person, God is still God. She said, Pastor Kelly, I don't think that I can live a moment without this person. And I said, look here, you can live and you can go on. Does the devil want you to be trapped in grief for the rest of your life? Yes, he does. God wants you to rely on him and invite him into that place where, you know what, it's hard. He will continue to deliver us. And as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answers to the prayers of many. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 30. We're going to look at verse 11 and 12. How many of y'all like to watch TV? I love it. How many of y'all like reality TV?
I love it too.
It's always funny and cute when people are talking. I'll walk into a room of church people and they'll be talking about their show. And then the room will get quiet and they're like, we can't tell Pastor Kelly we watched that show. I'm like, then I'll name one of the characters and I'm like, I like that too. What do you think they did on the last episode? Wasn't that crazy? They're like, oh my God, you watched the TV that we did. Well, of course I do. Sometimes when I really get interested in a show and I don't want to wait, I'll Google. And I'll say, what happened on season da-da-da-da-da with such and such? I want to know. And I want to know before everybody else does, which I know that's impossible because it wouldn't be on Google. And I like to know. And here's God's word. Here's what God promises to do if you promise to let your grief be processed. Psalm chapter 30, verse 11, it says, you turned my mourning into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. I'm going to read that one more time because somebody needs to get a hold of that and take it to the bank and cash that check and put it in your pocket and dwell in the fact that God is still God and that he's still able to do exactly what his word says. So, Psalm chapter 30, verse 11, you turned my mourning into dancing. You turned it into dancing. God, you took that bad thing that happened to me. Lord, you took the disappointment. You took the wasted years. You took the brokenness. And God, you turned that around and you gave me a song about it. And you gave me a dance to do with it. Every bit of what is going on in your life that's negative and that's holding you up, God has something positive to put in its place and to make you new and to mend you up to the point where nobody could ever even tell that happened. Keisha said for several weeks that God had laid it on her heart that she needed to do something with her testimony. She said, well, I can't go to the jail. Well, why not? Why not? Amen. Not only did she go to the jail, but upon the administrator's recommendation. Amen. That's the goodness of God. Amen. When you think that people don't see you, God will have the right person in your life. God will have the person in authority. God will see, the word says that the heart of the king, it's in the hand of the Lord, and God will turn that any which way that it needs to go. Lady said, what do you think about Keisha Lewis? I said, oh, don't get me started on Keisha. Because see, I could talk about Keisha all day long because God has done a work in her life that is undeniable. Yes, God wants to do a work in your life. What is it called? Recovering from grief. Recovering from the thing that's hurting you. Recovering from the disappointment. Recovering from the death in that in your family that you haven't been right since it happened. Recovering from the grief of what you thought your life was going to be, and now you're upset and angry with God because it didn't work out that way. See, God wants you to make a full recovery. My mother, she fell, and she broke both of her wrists, right? You had to have rotator cuff surgery because you had a rotator cuff injury and tear, too. Several surgeries. She had to have me for a nurse, which is God-awful. She had to have Dad for a nurse, and that's even worse. Dad, I remember one day Dad was walking down the hall, and he goes, there's a lesson in this for the whole family. And he's walking down the hall, and he's shaking his head, and we're all going, Mother's nursed us back to health for like our whole life. She's an RN for anybody that doesn't know. And we're going, oh my gosh. And we proceeded to care for Mother for about 6 months. And Mother, you didn't want to make just a little bit of recovery, did you?
No.
You wanted to fully recover.
Yeah.
Was it painful?
Yeah.
She would sit in a chair, and she would do these exercises until this day. She has little note cards from the ceiling to the floor of the Word of God that told her that she could make a full recovery.
Amen.
David said in the Psalms, Lord, your word, not your mama's word, not your critic's word, not the town's word, your word, God, have I hidden in my heart. God, fill me full of the Word. Look here, you want to make a full recovery of what's going on with you? You're going to have to work on it, and you're going to have to want it. And look here, it's going to be painful. She would have days where she'd be doing those exercises, and I'd say, Mama, just stop. She'd be like, set the timer. I'd be like, okay. She's supposed to do it for 3 minutes. I'd be like, after a minute, you're good. Why? Because, see, I don't want to see her suffer. She wanted a full recovery. You had to work at it. Most of the time you worked at it with tears running down your face. Every time you had to get in the bathtub and you had me with you, I'd be crying too. Make a full recovery. You don't got to walk around and have that sadness in your heart forever. Let God come in. Let him heal that. What will he do? He will turn your mourning into dancing. The thing that made you sad, you'll be able to look back and you'll say, you know what? I didn't like it at the time, but I'm glad it happened because that made me right there. That storm made me better. That storm refined me. That thing in my life that I thought was going to overtake me, it really made me. Look here, winners and believers, they're not made when everything is going great. You're made in the valley. You're made when everything's going wrong and it forces you to get on your knees and have a conversation with God and get real and get right. Pastor's up here today and I'm asking you to make a full recovery.
Amen.
Why? Because look here, God's got a full plan.
Amen.
He's got a full plan.
Yes.
For you. Psalms chapter 147. And this is the last place for me. Psalms chapter 147. We're going to look at verse 3 through 5. And it says this right here. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. When I was little, Mama said, don't go in the barn. I'm going to go get Mr. Froggy. And I'm going to get him out. Don't come in the barn. I go in the barn. And I run my arm and my hand across the feeding trough. Believe it or not, at one point we thought we wanted to be farmers. Or we did. We liked it. We quickly gave that up. We were supposed to be soul winners.
We had a cow, and Mother got to name it Mercy because it got out, and she liked to watch Dad go in the pasture and holler Mercy for like 3 hours. That's what happens when you marry a wife that's got a dry sense of humor. She's done some other things to us that we won't mention. Ain't nobody like Sister Millie. She's a saint. I walked out of the barn and my little hand was just dripping with blood. And she goes, Kelly, what did you do? And that metal trough had cut me from one end of my hand to the other. And to this day, I remember my mom when I was having trouble in school. And she would say, Kelly, when the teacher wants you to say which hand is your left hand, all you have to do is find the one with your scar and that's the answer. So to this day, when Dad, I'll be driving the car with Dad, and he'll say, take a left, and I'll go, and I'll look at my hands. Okay, we're going to go this way. Now, it was a pretty bad cut. And she got me, and being the RN that she is and was, she knew right what to do. But one of the things that I remember, because it hurt so bad, well, she began to clean it from the inside out. And she began to bind up that wound. What does God say in His Word that He does? He heals, not just makes it a little better, but He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. Whenever you've got a wound and God's trying to bind it up, it's going to hurt. It's going to be a painful process. That doesn't mean don't go through it. That means just say, Daddy God, this really hurts. God, this is uncomfortable for me. And I'm hurting, so give me lots of grace and lots of love today. And God will heal your broken heart. He'll bind that womb up. And it says, He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. I want to tell you that not only has God called you, but He calls you by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. What people don't understand about you, you know, I've judged people and I've judged them harshly because I didn't understand what they were going through. And then I've had that done to me and I get it. But God's understanding is beyond everything that we could ever think. I want to ask you today, are you in a place where you say, Pastor Kelly, I've grieved and I've been hurting for so long and I'm ready to just be free from that? If that's you this morning, I want you to come up here and I want you to just come right up here because I'm going to lay my hands on you because I fully believe that He who the Son sets free is free indeed. God doesn't want you having that any longer, and I'm going to give you a moment. I'm just going to begin to pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, You know every person, Lord, that walked in here today. God, You want to heal every person that's come in here, and they've had grief in their life for far too long, and they're ready to walk away from it.